I remember being a teenager and sitting on the edge of my bed and begging and asking God to do a miracle. Just one miracle. And I asked him night after night after night. And he never did it. I thought if God did this one specific miracle, then faith would have just been easier. I thought that if God just did this one specific miracle, then life would have been worth living. Well, John's gospel is all about life and how we can gain it. And in this passage today, God has something to say to that teenage Adam. And for all those who desire to see a sign. For you see, Jesus knows the difference between a fickle faith and a life-giving belief. You need to be born again. And God shows us this in 3 points. Number one, Jesus knows about fickle faith. Number one, Jesus knows about fickle faith. Please look down with me at chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs that he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them, because he knew all people, and he needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. You see, Jesus has been going around Jerusalem, sort of just doing his thing, really. Like, we're not precisely told. Maybe he was healing, maybe he was casting out demons. We're not told, but we are told that people, they're just amazed by this, by what they've seen Jesus do, these signs, which is another word for miracle that they've seen him do. And they're so amazed by what they've seen that they put their, that they believe in his name. On the surface, this seems pretty good, doesn't it? This seems to be going in the right direction. People believing in Jesus, tick, brilliant, well done. However, from Jesus' reaction in verse 24, we understand that not everything is as it seems. Yes, these people, they're seeing signs. And yes, they're believing in Jesus. But Jesus is not willing to entrust himself to them. He doesn't trust their so-called claims of belief. But why? Surely belief is all we need. You're telling me that we need more now? Why doesn't Jesus just trust them? Well, let's look at the end of verse 25 together. Please look with me. Those last few words. For he himself knew what was in man. He himself knew what was in man. Jesus knows what is inside man. He gets us. He understands how we work, how fickle we are. You see, Jesus, he saw Adam and Eve when they were offered a paradise of yes and one tree of no, and yet their fickle faith led them to that tree of no, and they ate of the apple. Jesus saw King David, who should have been one of the greatest kings, become a murderer in his desire for another man's wife. Jesus knows about fickle faith because he knows what is in all men. Jesus knows that just because this Jerusalem crowd are currently amazed by him, it does not mean that it's going to stay that way. Jesus knows that these signs, they might have momentarily dazzled their eyes, but they're not going to stay believers for long. At the end of John's gospel, we come back to Jerusalem to a Passover feast, and the same people of this city turn as one against Jesus. They will have forgotten the signs that dazzled them, and they will scream together, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Jesus, he knows about fickle faith because he knows what is in man. As a race, we're sadly pretty fickle, and people's inability to remember this has often brought them down. Cameron, he trusted the polls. He thought he knew what people wanted, and so he called a referendum that, in the end, brought him down. As a nation, we said one thing, but in reality, we wanted another. May, she trusted the polls. She thought she knew what people wanted. She believed them when they said they didn't like Corbyn and they wanted a stable government. And so she called an election, which would end in her losing her majority. It seems like we say one thing, but we want another. And it's interesting to note now that we look at those polls again, that actually if there was an election today, people now say that Labour would win and beat the Tories, and many Leave voters apparently regret their decision. It's mental. We can't seem to make our mind up about anything. Jesus knows what is within mankind. He knows how fickle our faith is. And he wants nothing to do with a fickle faith. The claims of belief from this Jerusalem crowd, they're hot air, and that is it. They've seen the signs, but it has not led to real faith. Do you long to see a sign from God? Do you want to see Jesus feed thousands, or walk on water, or raise Lazarus from the dead, or turn water into wine? Do you think, if only I just saw that one sign, then finally I'd believe in Jesus. It would make sense. Then I'd be a Christian. Or finally, then my faith would be strengthened. It would be built on solid foundations then. It would then make sense, and I wouldn't doubt any more if I just saw that one sign. Are you longing to see a sign? Are you hankering after one? I have. That teenage Adam wanted one. And sometimes I still want one now. But Jesus knows that is not what we need. The Jerusalem crowd, they saw Jesus do many amazing signs. And yet their belief did not last. It just created a fickle faith. Jesus, he knows what we need. He knows that if we saw a sign, that it would only produce a fickle faith. There is something so wrong with us, so broken with us, that seeing a sign, it's not going to fix it. It's not going to fix it. The second point God makes in this passage, Jesus knows that we need to be born again. Point two, Jesus knows that we need to be born again. Please look down with me at chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus, or should we just call him Nick from now on, he's a classic example of a man with a fickle faith. He's seen Jesus do incredible signs, and he does believe that he's from God. Tick. But it's not enough. Nick needs to be born again. Jesus answers him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." If you see the signs, that will not enable you to see the kingdom. You see, there is something within all humans that is holding us back. In fact, as soon as you're born, you are ineligible to see the kingdom of God. By saying that you need to be born again, Jesus is saying that in your current state, there is no way you're getting in. You need to be totally changed. You need total transformation. You need a fresh start. The transformation required, it is so grand, so colossal, so massive, that you have to be born again. Now, Nicky's a little bit confused by this, isn't he? Verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Now, let's not dwell on that image for too long. It will make us a wee bit queasy. And in reality, it doesn't even help us understand, because that is not what Jesus means. For one to be born again, one must be born of the Spirit and of water. If they want to enter the kingdom of God, if you're born of the flesh, well, you're not getting in. Sorry, and even if in some incredibly creepy way you manage to be born of the flesh again, it's still not going to help you. You're still not getting in. Only those born of the Spirit can enter. And that is why it's so important to be born of the Spirit, to be born again. Because through a new birth, you're cleansed and renewed. Out with the old, in with the new. To be born again, it equals total transformation. To be born again equals total transformation. Now, that might sound surprising, bonkers even, being born of the Spirit. But actually, we're also told, well, don't be filled with wonder or awe at this. You see, the Spirit is a bit like the wind. You hear it when it moves through the trees, or when it howls through the rafters. But it moves where it wishes, and you don't know when it's going to come or go. The Spirit is like this too. He will go where he wishes to go, and come and leave when he wishes to come and leave. And the evidence of his movement will be when people are born again. That's how we'll know. We don't know when people will be born again, but the Spirit does. And it will happen as surely as the wind blows. Jesus gets, he gets what Nick needs. He needs to be born again. He needs total transformation. Seeing a sign, it's not enough. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to enable him to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nick's problem is deeper and darker and far more severe than he knows. Jesus knows that we need to be born again. The doctor knows what a patient needs, even if the patient doesn't understand. A parent knows what the child needs, even if the child doesn't understand. A teacher knows what their pupils need, even if the pupils do not understand. Jesus knows we need to be born again, even if we don't understand. Our hearts, they are just so distant from God. Our lives are just so rebellious towards him that seeing a few signs, it's not going to cut it. Our sin, it is just so great. Our problem, it is just so severe. Seeing signs will not actually allow us to believe. All it will give us is a fickle faith, which will be gone in a moment. Our problem is not that we need signs to know that Jesus is God. Our problem is so severe that even when a man sees the signs, it doesn't help. Our problem is so desperate that it requires us to be born again. Total transformation. I need to be born of the Spirit, not see a truckload of signs. Maybe my eyes, they would feast, but my heart would still be dead. Jesus knows what we need. We need to be born again. Third point, Jesus knows about life-giving belief. Jesus knows about life-giving belief. Look down with me at chapter 3, verse 9 to 15 for our last section. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." Nick, he should know about life-giving belief because he's a teacher of Israel. It's his job to know about these sort of things. And yet, he doesn't. He's clueless. Jesus knows about life-giving belief, because he bears witness to it. He speaks about the things he knows. And the things he knows, they're not earthly things, they're heavenly things. They're the things of God. These things, they're hard to understand and hard for Nick to believe in. And yet we must understand these heavenly things. And thus we must listen to the one who's actually been there. Nick should have been in the know. He's a teacher of Israel, but he isn't in the know. He needs to hear from someone who's actually from heaven itself. Now there are plenty of wise people in the world. Maybe in your school, in your workplace, or your family, or in your friendship group. But none of them, and I mean none of them, are actually in the know with what the real problem is. We need to hear from someone who's come from heaven itself. We need to hear from Jesus. Because where Jesus comes from, we need to hear from Jesus because of where he comes from. And in verse 13, he links himself to the Son of Man, an individual who we've learnt in the book of Daniel, an earlier book in the Bible, will be given dominion and glory in a kingdom that is everlasting. And Jesus here, he's linking himself to the Son of Man. And he's saying that only he has ascended and descended from heaven itself. Only he is in the know. Thus we should listen to him. And what he says next in verse 14 and 15 reveals, it tells us how to gain life-giving belief. Verse 14 and 15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is referring to a historical event here. You see, when Moses had just led the Jewish people out of Egypt, they've just left Egypt, and they're currently just wandering in the wilderness. They've just seen the incredible signs God has done, and the people, they start to rebel against God. They start to argue with him. So God sends a load of snakes into their camp, and many Jewish people die. But when they start to repent and say sorry of their rebellion, God creates a way for these people that they can be saved. Moses makes a serpent out of bronze and lifts it up and holds it on a pole. And anyone who just, they might be bitten by a serpent, but they just look at this bronze serpent, then they will live. They've just got to live, look, and then they will live. In the same way, the Son of Man, he's going to be lifted up. And in the same way, you've just got to look, and then you will live. Jesus is going to be lifted up onto a cruel cross, and all who look on him and believe in him will have eternal life. This then is how we obtain eternal life, by seeing Jesus on the cross as a limp, bleeding, bloody mess of a man and believing in him still. Even when he's broken, we're still to believe. Even when he looks like nothing, I still must believe. Even actually when it looks like he is lost and he is defeated, that is the moment we are told to believe. That's the definition of true belief. And that is how we gain eternal life. We don't obtain eternal life by looking on Jesus when he does wonderful signs, marvelous miracles to dazzle our eyes. When he's visibly strong and impressive, that will not give us belief. We obtain life by looking at Jesus when he is nothing and still believing in him. Because it is when he is nothing on the cross that he achieves everything. It's when he is nothing on the cross that he deals with our fickle hearts. It's when he is nothing on the cross that God forgives us of our rebellion and our sin, so that the Spirit can start that process of us being born again. It is when he is nothing on the cross that we obtain life. Jesus knows about life-giving belief. In life, we're always seeing something, and through our belief in it, we gain life. I see a red man at a crossing, and I gain life, because I'm not hit by traffic. I see a sign which says live wire and I gain life because I don't touch it. Jesus knows about life-giving belief. Look at him on the cross. Believe in him and you will gain life. We may think that we need to see signs and then we will believe. But that's just not the case. We don't need to see signs. We need to see Jesus nailed on the cross. And once we've seen and believed, we need to keep on believing. Tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that and the year after that. We need to keep on believing until we are grey and old, and then we need to still keep on believing it until our time has run out. But if we do that and if we keep on doing that, looking to Jesus on the cross and believing in him, then we will have eternal life. So please, look to Jesus as he is nailed on the cross. This is the Son of Man who has dominion and glory and a kingdom that will never end. This man is no man at all because he's from heaven and knows the things of heaven. Please look to him and believe in him and you will gain life. I am sorry. I am sorry, teenage Adam, and I am sorry that God is not going to give you a sign to prove himself. You see, the God of the entire universe, the one who made it, the one who sustains it, he knows that we don't need signs. He could give us one, but in reality, it would create only fickle faith. He knows that what we need to solve our broken hearts is to be born by the Spirit. And the only way we can be born again of the Spirit is by looking at Jesus as he hangs on the cross and believing in him.